Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Barry Lenehan is with me. And Barry, you had a story last night about domestic abuse and coercive control of males, and it got a big reaction. But doctors in Dublin's St Vincent's Hospital reported a sharp rise in male victims of domestic abuse in the final quarter of last year, after the hospital implemented a new support system for victims of domestic violence. And separately, Gordy insists they treat male victims of coercive control with the utmost seriousness, after a victim outlined on this programme yesterday, as I mentioned, how he was dismissed by Gordy when he outlined the litany of abuse he suffered from his wife. Barry Lennon, as I say, is back in studio. And just a warning, listeners may find some of what we're about to hear distressing. We received a huge reaction, as I say, to what you reported yesterday.
And this was Michael's story, who claims he suffered domestic abuse and coercive control by his now estranged wife over several years. The abuse escalating since they separated, still ongoing to this day, and Gardaí in the south of the country are investigating. Here's a reminder, as voiced by a colleague.
It started when she became kind of fixated on the idea that I was cheating on her. She was constantly harassing me, following me around, checking my whereabouts and my phone too. It just kind of gradually got worse and worse and worse. And any day I even wore clean clothes, she'd be asking questions of me. And another big thing was she'd ring me at work, shouting and roaring down the phone. I'd get stuff like, "You're a bastard," and the likes of that.
And things got a lot worse after you and your wife had a child that died.
We would have been fighting a lot of the time when that child was lost. She blamed me entirely. She'd constantly roar into my face, saying stuff like, "You're a murderer," you know, like spitting into my face, shouting. And then things just came to a head. I just said nothing, packed my bag, went off to work the next day, and I never came home. The hardest part about this was that people believed her. After I left, she put up a post online saying she was a domestic abuse survivor. It's a message she puts out a lot, actually. Nobody questioned her story, and I was immediately dismissed. One lad jumped out of a van and tried to attack me, saying I was leaving her high and dry, which is totally not the case. And 2 years after I left, I met somebody new and started to rebuild my life, but the harassment only escalated. It did take me a long, long time to work up the courage to actually go in and speak out about it. It's a very hard thing to do as a man. And the first time I went into a Garda station, I gave a kind of brief description of what was going on, and I was laughed at. I was told, "You're an adult, go out there and sort this out yourself." I mean, this isn't just my story. It's the story of so many men who are suffering in silence because they know they won't be believed.
How have people reacted to Michael's story since yesterday's programme, Barry?
Several men got in touch with the show to share their experience, saying Michael's story resonated deeply with them. Many lengthy emails from men as well, still coming in this afternoon, since the programme even on air this evening. Here's just one that perhaps gives a flavour of what we've heard. It reads as such: "Thank you for highlighting this issue. Domestic abuse and violence against men is one of the last taboo subjects in Irish society. Men dare not raise this issue in private or in public, and very few report it. Over the years of my marriage, I've been kicked, punched, hit around the head until I saw stars, even sometimes slept with a barricade against a bedroom door in fear I was attacked or even stabbed while I slept, such was the intensity of my ex-wife's periodic mood swings. To the outside world, we were a normal couple. On the inside, I was always fearful of my wife's next outburst and was driven by her incessant put-downs and abuse to the point of suicidal thoughts. When reporting the above, I was made a mockery by the Gardaí. When I described the above to a judge in a circuit court, I was also mocked, as the judge could not believe that a man could be subject to domestic abuse and violence over a 10-year period. Albeit for the generosity of friends, I found myself homeless after an application for a barring order with false allegations later dismissed was made by my wife against me. Domestic violence is a gender equality issue. Gender-based violence affects every orientation and strata of society. There has been practically zero recognition of domestic abuse and violence against men, and the legal system is stacked in favour of the mother, whatever the circumstances. There is no emergency accommodation available for male victims of domestic violence, and I had nowhere to meet or bring my children from which my wife had attempted to alienate me. My advice to other men is reach out, get support. There is help, but the journey is difficult.
And that's from an email this afternoon, and people can email drivetime@rte.ie to share their stories. Reach out is what that man says, but reach out where? Where is the help, Barry?
Well, the Men's Development Network offers a free phone line service to provide advice and support to men experiencing domestic violence and abuse. It's free phone 1800 816 588 and Derek Smith is the supervisor of that phone line.
Coercive control is a behaviour that can be used by anyone. It's a behaviour that usually lasts over time. If I can use the word dice, because there's tactics involved in coercive control, in the behaviour of coercive control, and it's degrading, isolation, control and exploit. They're the four tactics that are used in coercive control behaviour. There's three elements involved in any kind of coercive control behaviour, and that is rigid rules. And there's consequences if those rigid rules aren't adhered by for the victim, and also fear. They're the three elements of coercive control, and that's why it's against the law.
For male victims, how might they know they're in this situation? It often might involve maybe allegations of infidelity against them, or perhaps financial abuse. Would that be right?
There can be various different threats and various different tactics. But I suppose, like, at the end of the day, Barry, you know, how you feel will always reveal the truth. If something doesn't feel right, chances are it isn't right. And following on from that, you know, to talk to somebody about it. Talk to somebody about how you feel, because like that in and of itself can be a game changer. Just telling somebody how you feel, telling somebody your truth, telling somebody what you are experiencing or have experienced in the past. Like, we sometimes underestimate the value of that in and of itself. And that support is there. That is part of the service that we provide on the National Male Advice Line, is that emotional support, listening to somebody, making sure that they know they're being heard and understood and validated. Because unless you tell somebody your truth, you're carrying that around with you. That can cause various different medical issues, stress, depression, lack of confidence. The importance of telling somebody is crucial, and being heard and listened to and validated.
You're dealing with it every day. What's the prevalence at the moment? Is it a growing problem?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a growing problem, Barry. The behaviour problem has always been there. I think there's far more awareness around it now, and people are beginning to realise that there is help there, there is support, and it's okay to seek the support. Societal norms vary about men, I suppose, in general, you know, like about, you know, this, the man up sort of mentality and stereotypes like, such as, like, I'm a man, I should be able to handle this. Those kind of barriers are still there. Now, they are evaporating slowly.
But is there still a stigma there around male victims?
Yeah. I would say that stigma is still there, all right, yeah. Again, Barry, you know, just talking about it, getting the message out there that it's okay to seek support. You know, we're not meant to be isolated. We're meant to connect, and we're meant to support one another. And that support is there.
And that's Derek Smith, supervisor with the Men's Development Network. Barry, yesterday's report, Michael's story carried criticism of how Gore the treat male victims of domestic abuse. What is the force? What's the Garda Síochána saying about this evening?
Gardaí confirmed how there have been overall, both male and female, 41 prosecutions for coercive control across 2023 and 2024. And provisional figures for 2024 highlight that a Garda Síochána received in excess of 61,000 domestic abuse-related contacts in 2024. In a statement, the force says it treats all instances of domestic abuse as a priority, with a specialist unit in each Garda division, which are staffed by highly trained specialist detectives. There are 300 such detectives nationwide, it says. Specific training and course of control is being delivered to all operational Garda members. Over 90% of Gardaí nationwide have completed this training, and a Garda spokesperson insisted that victims can be assured that they will be supported and heard, and that they treat all reports sensitively and in confidence.
What are doctors and medics saying about all of this and the prevalence of domestic abuse among males?
Dublin's St Vincent's Hospital reported a rise in the number of male victims of domestic abuse in the final quarter of last year after implementing a new support system for victims of domestic violence, male and female. Social workers at the hospital, they feared victims were falling through the cracks when social workers weren't present in the hospital at night and weekends during holiday periods. And an audit at the hospital revealed that from January to July 2023, 41 patients disclosed being assaulted by someone they knew, but only 18 were referred to the medical social work department. So social workers at Vincent's came together to provide detailed training to medical staff to allow them identify the signs of domestic violence and provide support on the spot to victims. And to hear more about this, I met Vincent's social worker Kira Lumsden and emergency medicine consultant John Cronin.
The most important thing that we want to say to our patients and for anybody listening is that if you feel like you've nowhere to go, you do. If you feel like you've no one to support you, you do. That's what we wanted to get across to our patients, and with this new development that in St Vincent's Emergency Department, we wanted a 365 24-hour service for our patients where they always received the best care and the best support, and they always had somewhere safe to go. And that's when we brought the initiative to our medical staff and said, and basically asked, could we help train them? Could we give them the supports so that they could support our patients? The gaps, and we weren't there to make sure that our patients were always safe, that they always had somewhere to go and they always had someone to support them.
Because if you're experiencing domestic violence, if you're female or male, it doesn't stop at 8 o'clock when the social worker is finished for the day.
It is 24 hours. It happens in the evenings. It happens on bank holidays. It happens when people aren't there, when social work isn't there. So we wanted to give our colleagues the tools to support our patients.
It is great to have the services in place on a weekday in the middle of the day, but you know, what is there in the middle of the night on a weekend, you know, or these type of things? You need to be able to provide this service and the ability to identify and care for these patients at any time. So really they had a quite very kind of complete idea for the pathway, so it included learning for our nurses and doctors and everyone in the department in terms of how to identify them, and then what to do if you were helping or managing a case such as this, and then also resources for the patients.
What does it mean on a practical level tonight, say, if somebody comes in who might be a victim of domestic violence?
Well, hopefully we have taught our nurses and doctors how to be aware of that, you know, domestic violence might be the background reason or the mechanism for the injury that brought the person to the hospital. Patients are they often want someone to talk to, so they will often come forward with the information. You know, it's not that you often have to be a detective and really pull it out of them, but sometimes, you know, if the partner or someone else is there or they're not feeling confident or they're shy, they might, you know, they might come forward straight away with it. So it's just about the doctors and nurses learning when to be aware of it, and if they do suspect it, what to do. So both what to do in terms of how they approach the patients, being non-judgmental, being open, listening, maybe interviewing them in a quieter area, which is a challenge in very, very busy emergency departments, what supports to give them. And then the checklist, you know, a very effective checklist of things to look at in terms of their safety, financial, really importantly if there are children involved, and what to do in those sort of cases.
What difference has the pathway made? Can you quantify it?
We were seeing very minimal to no referrals in regards to patients who are male, who were experiencing domestic violence, to all of a sudden we're getting 2 to 3 a month, and we're noticing that increase. And again, this is coming from the great work again of our medical professionals, who are noticing it when they present to the emergency department.
Ciara Lumsden and John Cronin at St Vincent's Hospital there in Dublin. And a reminder, if you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed either tonight or yesterday, you can find support at rte.ie/helplines. The Men's Development Network, that free phone line again, 1800 816 588, or Men's Aid at 01 554 3811.
Barry Lennon, thank you very much indeed for that. And I want to thank those of you who got in touch to share your story in great detail. We are treating every single one of them with the utmost care. You can contact the programme by email drivetime@rte.ie.